Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Please feel free to participate or to just listen and join us every week at the same day and time. Now, if you were with us last week, we talked about a pretty heavy topic, and this week we're going to go for something a little bit more uplifting. We're going to be talking about appreciating family and friends. And, you know, the one thing that I wanted to say at the outset is that family oftentimes is thought of as biological family, but to me, family usually includes friends, and for some, they may choose to create their own family of friends, because not all families, not all biological families are nurturing. And so I think it's important, if you feel like you're in a family dynamic that is toxic, that you create your own family. And so that's, I just wanted to say that. Kat, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree. You can't, you know, the old saying, you can't choose your relatives. You know, it is true. You have a family circle that is there by happenstance, and it doesn't matter where you are on the socioeconomic scale, where you find yourself when you're born. You can have very wealthy parents who are aloof and cruel, and you can have very, very poor parents who are kind and loving. So money doesn't play a part in family and the function of family as much as attitude and heart. That's the main thing in my mind. Because you might not have the money to put shoes on your kids' feet, but if you love them up every day, no matter what, they're going to go into the world as adults with an appreciation for loving and a knowledge of being lovable, that somebody who maybe has the best of the leather shoes that can be bought never ever experienced. So you must always recognize that family is, and loving family is far beyond the statistics of what they say, you know, when they're talking about socioeconomic circumstances for people and people who may be underfunded in their lives are not necessarily worse off. But family make and I agree also that your friends can be your family as well, and that you can end up with a whole new circle of people who feel more like a loyal, loving band than the one that you grew up with as well.
I was blessed. I had a family that loved me the best they could, and they did a pretty good job of it for the most part. You know, of course, as I grew into adulthood, I started looking at those aspects of my family that were dysfunctional. And what family is truly functional? You know, it's all a matter of degree. And I consider myself blessed that my family was a good family. They were loving. They instilled some good values in me. And I'm fortunate to still have my father alive at the age of 93. Most of my other family members have passed away, including my sister, who was a best buddy to me. And I had another best buddy in my maternal grandfather. His name was Chester. And I hear a member of your family, Kat.
Oh, I think that was a neighbor's dog, not mine.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it's loved. I've
that's
got the
right.
Window open.
You got
sorry
the
about
cat.
That.
No, that's all right.
I do have my one of my fur family here, Pericles Periwinkle, my black cat. He's laying here with me. He's 16, and just while you're saying that, fur, feather, and fins can also make up family, not just skin. One thing that really annoys me is when people talk about the animals in their life and they say, quote unquote, they're like family. They're not like family. They, if you've adopted them into your life and they're under your roof, they're your family.
Absolutely.
They're not like family. They are family. They don't look at you as like family to them. They look at you as family. So, you know, vice versa it and get over yourselves.
Yeah. That's so true. We have 6 fur babies in this household, and one of them is pretty ill, and we thought we were going to lose her a couple of times over the last few weeks, and oh boy, did we ever grieve at the possibility of losing her. But she seems to be holding her own. She's rallied 2 times when she'd come close to death, and she's lying right here in my office and totally peaceful. Her name is Remy. She's a little chihuahua. And then I have a black lab named Shadow. And then there's 4 cats. There's Samantha, Pumpkin, Tiger, and Tippy Toes. So those are our fur babies.
Yeah, so your family makes up skin and fur.
Oh, yes, yes. And then my husband is Robbie, and he can be a very cheerful, joyous soul, and he can be some other things too, but we all have the capacity.
Can't we all?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to talk a little bit about your family, Kat?
Well, my family span 2 hemispheres, 3 continents, and the people who are not in my country that I have as family make me feel secure that they're there. And even though some of them have grown old and died, having that knowledge that they've been there in my life has given me a sense of security, and loving them, even though I wasn't in their daily life, has been part of who I am. And so when they left, when they passed on, I still grieved, I still felt sad, because they were a big part of being me, and also I cared about them. It wasn't just a selfish thing of, oh, you know, that now what do I do without them? It was, and I care about them. But yes, they do. Family help to make up your identity. They just do. And so when I think about my family, I don't just stop at who my parents were and my siblings. I also expansively look at the greater family unit that I know. But I had an attempt at making a family when I was younger with a man. Unfortunately, he was not the right one for me. And though I wish him well, I don't want him in my life. The best thing that came out of him was my two oldest sons, Liam and Jacob. And then I'm 21 and 23, and I adore them, and they're really great people. And that's the thing that, you know, I brought them up as a single parent for 11 years before I met my partner, David. And every day, no matter how much they ticked me off, I'd tell them that I loved them and gave them a big, big, big hug. And I wanted to instill in them that they're lovable, and it makes a difference. It makes it a big, big difference. Because there were times when we struggled, though I never ever lost a roof over our head or food in their bellies. I did sacrifice eating for when I was studying. I didn't have enough money for food, so I would make sure that they ate the best food I had, and I would just eat rice if I had to. So I had them, and when I was quite young, 21 and 22, and then I went on to have Avalon and Odin, who are my two youngest ones, who are 5 and 7, and I had them with my partner David, and we I brought into the relationship the two boys, two cats, a couple of birds, and an aquarium too.
Yeah.
And as the years have gone by, one of the cats has passed away, the dog passed away. I've got one aquarium now, and I don't have any birds anymore because I found out that I'm allergic to bird dander. But, yeah, that's my family. I have three older brothers, and both my parents are living, though they're not together. And, yeah, I think the best things about my family are that they're kind to each other. There's difficulties within the family dynamic, for sure, and there's challenges. And there's things that I'd like to heal, but I don't know how. So I'm sure other people can find that within their own families. But the greater family circle, there are dynamics within that I would love to have it all sorted out, but I don't know how to sort it out. And in the end, that's other people's decisions that I can't make. I can only say I would love it if we could all get along. But, you know, what is family? It isn't necessarily blood relations, as we talked about. It's a group of people that function as a unit. And so you can have adopted members of the family as well as blood relatives. And we need to remember that when we bring somebody into our home and let them be family, we are giving them a lot of trust. So that is why when that trust is broken, it hurts more than if it was an acquaintance or somebody at work, because you've actually let them into the intimate circle. Do you agree that family is that intimate circle that you have?
Absolutely. And I think that it is so important to cherish every member of that intimate circle. And, you know, there's a joint responsibility, too. There's always give and take in every relationship. But, you know, if there's not a sense of mutuality, it's hard to appreciate the other persons involved. And that's why I was saying that, you know, sometimes we do find ourselves in family situations where there are toxic elements, and we sometimes need to make tough decisions to detach from and let go of those individuals. To me, intimacy is something that we hopefully are taught as children within the context of our families, and sometimes those lessons will continue. Well, they do continue. There's no question about that. With other people that come into our lives, especially spouses and partners. And I'm sure the same would be the case with having children, which I've never had the privilege of having. But I've enjoyed a lot of intimate relationships with all members of my family. My mother was a very loving person. I was blessed to know all of my grandparents, and they all exemplified real character. And my father's father was a real character. His name was Lawrence, and he was the last grandparent to leave. And ironically, he was my least favorite grandparent. But after the other ones became deceased, I got a chance to kind of get to know him on his own terms. And it took losing the other grandparents in order for me to come to appreciate him. And I had earlier started to talk about my maternal grandfather, Chester, Likewise, I didn't have a real bond with him when my grandmother was living. And she was, her name was Marion. She was my favorite grandmother, favorite grandparent. And when she died, it opened the way for me to bond with Chester. And he became a really close friend, in addition to being a grandfather. We did so many things together, and I miss him. Every time I think of him, I miss him terribly. He was such an important part of my life. Did you know your grandparents, Kat?
Yes, I did. My paternal grandmother passed away before I really could get to know her, but I did have some really important moments with her, and I spent most of my life having a long-distance relationship with my paternal grandfather. My paternal my maternal grandparents lived in the same country as me here in Australia, but they were my father's parents were in Scotland. My Australian grandparents were a little bit aloof, and I didn't really get to know my Australian grandmother very much. I did have time with her, and I did get to know her a little bit, but there was an aloofness there, and then we moved away. But I spent more time with my maternal grandfather in his latter years, and he was there for me when I needed somewhere to go, and he was a good man. So, but I didn't have the honour of having the kind of relationship that you had. I did want to finish my medical studies when I was younger and get over to Glasgow and support my grandfather, but it just wasn't meant to be. I was very, very ill and I couldn't continue my studies. I had to focus on getting well, and then I ended up having the kids, so it just didn't happen for me. But it sounds like you had a wonderful relationship and you were very blessed to have those relationships.
I was. I was very blessed to have them. And we were very close-knit. And both sets of grandparents knew each other very well and became good friends. So it was a real, for the most part, it was a really happy, happy, close-knit family. And my cousins, there were two sets of twins in my father's family and a single child who passed away when he was 15. But my dad's an identical twin, and all of those siblings lived in the area or would spend summers in the area because we had a camp on a nearby lake. And my cousins were more like siblings than cousins to me, under the umbrella of the matriarch and patriarch of the family. My mother was an only child, so I didn't have any cousins on that side of the family. But I felt very blessed, and there are so many other things that I will talk about later. We do have a couple of callers, and I'm grateful for that, and we'll be coming to you in a little while to see what you might want to share. Kat, you were asking me about intimacy. Was there something more you'd like to say on that topic?
No. Well, I mean, obviously when people talk about intimacy, they're thinking about romantic relationships, but you have different levels of intimacy with people once you start to formulate a bond with them. For example, a close friend or a best friend would be far more intimate with you in respect of emotional intimacy, and hugs and affectionate, appropriate touching, such as touching on the arm or throwing their arm around your shoulder or your waist when you go walking, you know, that sort of thing, giving you a big kiss on the cheek. Than, you know, somebody who you've known all your life but you haven't as an acquaintance. So you wouldn't be, you may hug them hello and goodbye, but you wouldn't have that level of intimacy with them. And certainly with a best friend, you would also hope that you could talk about your hopes and dreams and know it would go nowhere, you know, that you would have a confidant. And if you don't feel like you have a that kind of close bond with somebody, it doesn't mean that it won't happen in the future. It just means that you're living your life now in the way that you are, and keep loving on yourself. So a good friend is there for you. I'm just looking at reachout.com and signs of a good friend. And, of course, they're saying that friends come and go, and they do. But a good friend is there for you no matter what, doesn't judge you, doesn't put you down or deliberately hurt your feelings, is kind and respectful to you, is someone whose company you enjoy, is loyal, is trustworthy and willing to tell you the truth, even when it's hard for you to hear, laughs with you, sticks around when things get tough, makes you smile, is there to listen and comforts you when you cry. And, you know, that's a gem. If you've got someone like that, nurture that friendship. Don't dump them for no reason, you know, be selfish or ignore them. If you've got somebody who's a good friend to you and is showing you that they're a good friend, be a good friend back. Because friendships open doors in life the way that family can't. Family will open doors for you and help you and support you, but your friends are the ones you knock about with, you go out to places with. You can be yourself on a different level with your friends. And, you know, some family members, such as cousins and siblings, could be friends. And you can have friendship experiences with parents and so on, but somebody you're not related to, who you have as a friend, is a wonderful experience to have, and you can be yourself on a completely different level with that person than you can with family. If you've got two or three, you don't need to have a whole lot of friends. If you can count your true friends on your hand, then you know you've done well in life. And especially as an adult, it's quite difficult to make friends. You've got to do things. You've got to get out of your comfort zone and get exposed to the world to find them, and not deliberately seek them, but rather let it organically happen. And then when it does, you look after it, you nurture it. Don't ever, ever take it for granted.
Amen. I totally agree. And, you know, I can count on one hand the number of really close friends I have, and I'm developing, for those of you who don't know, Kat and I have become friends. It happened through the radio show that I do on Friday nights, where she's a frequent guest, and then we became Facebook friends, and we've shared a lot of joys and sorrows and triumphs and challenges with each other, and we're developing an intimate relationship, and that's very special to me. I used to consider that I had a very wide circle of friends, but I was not very discerning in that I thought some people were friends to me who were really fair-weather friends. And, you know, I've come in the last 20 years to appreciate what a true friend is, and it encompasses all of those different things that Kat read off. As qualities of a friendship, which are so special. And so now I have a really close-knit community of friends. I've lost some dear friends to the other side, and there was one named Don who was the most joyful spirit I've ever known. He was a singer and an artist, and a visual artist, and he was just very talented. He composed music, and he was like a little child, and the two of us, whenever we got together, it was as if we were just a couple of kids, and I just felt so filled with joy when I was in his presence, and it was a mutual relationship in that manner, and I had the honor of caring for him before he passed from colon cancer. And that was a really, really bitter pill to swallow to see him go, because he was still in his prime when he passed. But, you know, I cherish that experience. I so appreciate you, Don, and I just want to let your spirit know that, hear it from my mouth as I've said it to you in life. It's important for me to acknowledge you today also. And I have another dear friend that I'm going to speak about later on, because I think he may come on the show, and that's my best friend, Al, and I want to talk about him when he's present. I would like to go to the phone lines. We have one caller here, and I just want to see if they want to say hello or if they have anything they'd like to share about appreciating family and friends. And it's area code 434. Thank you for tuning in. What is your first name, please?
Khalil.
Galeo?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Is there anything that you'd like to share on the subject tonight, Galeo?
Can I share something and also ask a question?
Sure.
I have my mom, who's very protective of me, and I have a cousin that took me out and stuff like that, and then another cousin who was a school resource officer. They're all good people. And my cousin Ken, he used to be an officer. He was good with the kids and everything. And then my other cousin, he would take me out and take me to different places and stuff like that. And then my mom, she's not your typical mom that supports spanking. She supports spanking, but she doesn't support the radical types. And they're all good people.
What was your question?
I was at, since this is a psychic show, right?
This is not specifically a psychic show. It's a topical discussion. I do have psychics on my Friday night show. Kat happens
okay.
to be a clairvoyant, but we're not discussing psychic stuff tonight, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, so I'll have a good night, but thank you for letting me speak.
Oh, you're welcome, Galeo. And just to let you know, Kat can share her information with you in case you're ever interested in getting a reading. Kat, would you like to tell Galeo how he can get in touch with you?
Yeah, just contact me on Facebook at Kat Edwards, Life Coach and Spiritual Professional. Kat spelt with a C. Just send me a message there.
Thanks for calling in, Galeo. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your share, too.
Bye.
Well, we have a half an hour to go, and I just wanted to do some housekeeping, Kat. Do you want me to do the meditation tonight, or would you like to do it?
I can do it if you like.
That would be super. Would you like to tell people about the Facebook page before we continue?
Yes, so please join us on Facebook. We have a page called The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. Make sure that you click like and share, but also we'd really love it if you could join in the discussion. If you don't want to ring, but you would like to join in the discussion with us, then just get on the page and you'll see we've got a pinned post, but then we've usually got the top post is today's radio show. And in the comments there, you can type away about your appreciation of family and friends. And also, you can scroll down and find other recent podcasts. And if you go to David Clark at Blog Talk Radio, you can find other archives of this show and other shows that David broadcasts regularly.
We've been doing this show for a year and a half now, folks, and it is on Sunday nights at 8:30, and we've covered many different topics that you may find interesting. They are all in the archives, as Kat said, and we also would appreciate, and pardon me if you said this, Kat, I was distracted for a moment, but we would appreciate any topics that you might offer, because we're certainly willing to consider anything that you might want to have discussed on the show. So, Kat, where were we? I lost my train of thought.
Well, that gentleman who rang in was just saying how he had protective parents, and, you know, that can be a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, the old helicopter parent who follows the child everywhere, you know, can be a little bit stifling, but then the parent that doesn't take a lot of interest can be just as, you know, sad for a child as well. So, I mean, this isn't a parenting show talking about how to be a good parent by any means, but we are talking about appreciating family. And so, you know, you got to appreciate why your parents are protective. There may be a particular reason why they're protective. It could be because there's a weakness in your body or in your emotional makeup, in your mental health. There could be environmental factors. There could be circumstances. So if you do have a protective parent, cut them a break. There's a reason why they're doing it. Discuss that reason with them. Openly talk if you can. If they're reasonable enough to discuss it, then talk about it, explore it, understand it. Don't make it a big elephant in the room or a reason to resent, because then they'll come down harder on you and you'll find things are harder for you and your relationship will suffer. But if you work together and you say, okay, I understand why you're protective, you know, you're not going to be under their roof forever. And if you're an adult and you still have protective parents, then you just sort of feed them only what you want them to know. And,
right.
You know, like as adults, there's things that I got up to that I never ever told my parents about when I,
nah,
I was in that
nah,
transition
no.
of teenage and young adulthood. There are things I just, they don't know.
Yeah.
Best they don't.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's time immemorial. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people keep things from their parents that better off they don't know.
I can certainly relate to that. yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. The longer I'm alive and the longer my father lives, the more and more I've revealed to him, as I've learned to trust that he can handle a lot of the things that I've chosen to share with him. Not everything, mind you. But one more thing I wanted to say about my father. You were talking about the importance of letting people know that we love them. And it took me a long time to be able to get to the point where I could say, I love you. And now every day when I talk to my father, I call him every morning. I tell him I love him. And we hug today. We did not hug as when I was a young adult. In fact, the hugging stopped when I was about 5 years old. And that confused me as a child. And then I didn't notice a lot of men hugging boys, so I came to the conclusion that just wasn't done. Well, when I went to rehab for alcoholism, there was a therapy session. My parents came out for family week, which I thought was remarkable, because a lot of the people who were there did not have family that came out, and I really appreciated that, Mom and Dad. But the therapist suggested to me and my father that we hug each other. And so we did, and it was like hugging a board. He was so stiff.
Goodness.
Yeah, I was 33 at the time, and he would have been 60. But now his hugs are very, they're very gentle hugs, and he has a hard time letting go of me, actually. Well, which can be a little unnerving at times, but he really enjoys giving a hug today, and that's great. It makes me feel really good inside.
Yeah. I think appreciating where your parents have come from, what happened to them. We've talked about this in the past and in past shows, why your ancestors are the way they are, what they brought to the table when you were a kid, the good and the bad. You've got to appreciate where they've come from and why they are the way they are. So your father's sort of difficulty in emotionally engaging with that hug, that had nothing to do with you. It had to do with whatever was going on within himself. But obviously the love was there. It was just, how do I express that love? And he's, over the next 30 years, come through the journey, and now he's expressing it really well, which is great.
Yes, yes it is. No question about that. I really, really appreciate what you just said, because, you know, it's so easy to cast judgments against people, be they family or friends or foes. We do need to realize that everybody's had their own journey and that it's affected them, and that it doesn't necessarily have to do with us, although it may affect us. That's where communication comes in handy, and you were talking about that earlier, Kat. I think it's so important in the context of an intimate relationship, however that may present itself, to talk openly and honestly, and to ask questions, to not make assumptions, and come to greater understandings of each other and what the relationship is all about. Because if you don't do that, you don't grow. The relationship doesn't grow, and it can become stagnant. And that's not a pretty sight.
Yeah, absolutely. And just moving on to friendships a little bit, you know, I've found it's hard to really understand when you've been a bad friend. And you have to learn and grow through that and not... but in the dynamic of friendship, there can be times when you feel that you need to withdraw from somebody, and drilling down and putting the time into them isn't worth it. But having said that, when you are a really good friend to somebody and you get that back, it's a different, it's a falling in love. When you start, like, you know, we talk about a bromance. When you find somebody who you can be friends with, you're falling in love, not in a romantic way, but in a friendship way. And so that love is something that can really make your life better. And if you've got the kind of friend that you can pop in on, that you can have cuppas with, that they'll take action, that kind of strength in your life, that heart, never ever really changes you in a negative way. Even if you lose that friend or things go awry, you've always had it. Friendships are, for me, I've often struggled socially. I've found it quite hard to be a human being. I think that I'm an alien, and I come from the planet Zorg, and but I really have loved my friends, and the ones that I got close to and let into my life and let into my family, I really have loved them. And when things haven't worked out, that's really hurt me. Really, really hurt me. And so today my friendships are with people all over the world, you, David, Josie in Canada, as well as other friends in different parts of my state in Queensland. But I don't have anyone my age that I can call on. I have a friend who's 70, who I love dearly and who's very generous to me. And I have other friends who are older, but I don't have anyone my own age that I can knock about with and just be a scallywag. And so if you have someone like that, then, you know, nurture that, because you really, really appreciate it when you've got someone you can just be boys with or be girls with, you know, and just have fun. It's so hard to be an adult. It's really great to forget it all. And you've got someone to go 10-pin bowling with. You know, just charging up the karaoke, just being silly. That's what we need, and that kind of friend is fantastic.
Well, I'd like to do a call-out to one of my friends who's on the line right now. His name is Al, and he's my best buddy. And, you know, some of the qualities that you just mentioned certainly fit. And I think the one thing about Al is he's a child at heart, like my friend Don was. And we can just enjoy ourselves. Spending time together is so easy. We can sit there and just sit and be still. We don't need to be talking all the time. Although he tends to talk a lot when he's drinking lots of coffee, which he likes to do. And I can do the same thing also. But we have a lot in common, and we spent 24 years together as a couple. It was a very special time. And fortunately, I'm very blessed that he's chosen to remain in my life after that coupleship ended. And our relationship has continued to grow, perhaps in ways that it might not have been able to have happened had we stayed together, because I think we've gotten some different perspectives on life living apart and living apart as the former couple that we were. And so it's just a beautiful thing. And I'd like to bring him on the line, see if he wants to share anything about appreciating family and friends. There's Al. How you doing, Al?
Good, David. Thank you. That was lovely. I feel I agree with what you had to say about us. I also felt that we grew up. We learned some lessons from living on our own for a period of time, and brought those lessons back to our friendship. And you've been a great friend to me. You've always stayed connected. You've always listened well. I feel the same way, that we don't have to talk. I will say that I'm drinking mostly decaf coffee these days, so I'm not running off at the mouth so much when I'm when I've had too much coffee. I'm generally a quieter guy, but when I'm on that caffeine, I'm not. One of the things I love about David is he's a very, very generous person. He cares very much about other people, and I mean, it shows every time he does this show, that shows that he cares about people a great deal, and he's a good listener. So I always feel understood when I talk with David. We've both, one of the advantages of our both getting older is that we've gotten more honest with ourselves. And we've both gotten a lot less defensive about our own shortcomings. So I think we're both able to share things about ourselves and where we struggle and feel heard and not feel like there's anything we need to defend. That's been really wonderful in our friendship. David, you've been really good about always staying in contact. You're better about that than I am. I have more isolation patterns at work than you do. But even I've gotten pretty good about that. And it's one of the things that I really love about you as a friend, is your ability to keep reaching out to people. It's not an easy thing for friends to do. I love that about you. And, you know, I just like how much you love other people. And I did want to... Oh, thank you.
Go ahead.
Back at me.
Yes, back
at
you.
I was going to say, I just heard, you know, some of Kat's comments about the bromance part. And, you know, I think that's another thing about our friendship, David, too, is that we mirror for each other. Like, they used to talk about, like, when we're infants and we learn that we're loved and appreciated. Hopefully we learn that we're loved and appreciated by a parent because of the attention they give us, the mirroring they do with us. And I think that's what friends do too. And I, you know, it's part of what Kat was talking about with the bromance stuff. I think you and I affirm each other a lot. You know, I think that's a big part of our friendship too. We see love and caring mirrored through one another. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I just appreciate you a great deal, David.
And I appreciate
my life.
Oh, I love you. You're such a wonderful communicator, and you have such a wonderful way with words. And I love the way you think things through. You're very introspective. You're a very caring person, and you stand up for what you believe in. You've grown tremendously over the years in terms of becoming a more assertive person and somebody that has sought to understand other people better. And you've sought to tear down any walls of prejudice that you may have had. And you've done a lot of work on yourself in terms of getting honest with yourself, getting honest with other people. That's always been a great quality of yours, has been honesty. And I appreciate that too. So, you know, it's been a nice mutual admiration society here. Thank you for joining us tonight. Is there anything else you'd like to say about appreciating family and friends?
No, that's all I want to say right now. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, Kat, do you have anything that you want to say in closing before we go to meditation?
Yeah, so look at your family and love them. If you can't love them in life, then love them in death, you know, if they've passed away. The people that you find difficult to communicate with, love them anyway. And focus on listening and understanding your family. And reflect. I often reflect on the positive things and the support and the love that I've received from my family over the years. And I therefore stay in a state of gratitude towards them, no matter what the dynamic is between us and whatever issues are going on that have to be learned and grown through. I still remain in a state of love and appreciation towards my family, and that's so important because they are connected to you in that intimate level, and they have seen you and known you as a youngster. And then as far as friends go, and before I finish, reach out. If you can reach out to family, reach out to them. And I know that as an introverted person, I struggle to reach out to people, but it's worth it. Just to reach out, send them a text to say, hi, how are you today? How are you doing? It makes them feel good about themselves, and you feel good about yourself too. With friendships, you know, appreciate the all levels of friendship that you have, and make sure that no matter what's going on in your life, you have time to smile. Look in the eyes and smile. If it's culturally appropriate to look in the eyes, Look in the eyes and smile. Use teeth when you smile and say those magic words. How are you? And then listen. Shut up and listen. Because if they're a good friend, they'll say, how are you? And ask you how you are too. And they'll shut up and listen. And take the time to laugh and joke and play. That's the wonderful thing about friends, that you can do that. They'll lend you an ear and they'll laugh and play with you too. And that's so important. And that's the thing that I love the most about my friends.
Nice, nice. I think whether it's family or friends, it's so important to cherish those relationships, as I said earlier. And I love what you said about reaching out, Kat. We do need to look at our relationships as if we're tending to a garden. They need water. They need love. And it's so important to be there when someone is in need. And I love what you said about looking at the positive aspects, because we all have positive and negative within us. But, you know, when we can keep the focus on the positive, then we're doing not only the relationship a favor, but we're doing ourselves a favor. Because the more we can remain positive, the more positivity we're going to attract into our lives. And so call up a friend tonight. Be a good listener. As Kat was saying, you know, it's important to listen and to be there for each other. So that's all I have to say. If you're ready, Kat, we can do the meditation now.
Sounds great. So let's get comfortable. Let's get into a comfortable spot, whether you're sitting or laying down on the floor, and have a good little wriggle. You want to get that last little bit of wriggle out. And after you wriggle, just kind of relax. Maybe rub your temples a bit. Just be. Now, I'd like you to see a spot on the wall in front of you. And I want you to think about that dot. It could be any kind of spot on the wall, but I would like you to channel all your thoughts into the spot. What color is the spot? Say it to yourself. It's a black spot, or it's a red spot, or a white spot. What color is the spot? What shape is the spot? Tell yourself the shape. Tell yourself what the spot is made of, and maybe it's paint, maybe it's something else. What is the spot made of? Tell yourself what the spot's made of. Tell yourself what you'd like to do to the spot. Would you like to clean it? Would you like to keep it? What would you like to do to the spot? Who is the spot? Does it have a name? If you were to smell the spot, what would it smell like? That spot, nothing else. Just focus on the spot. Now, keep focusing on the spot and forget your surroundings. Everything around you is melting away. It's just you and the spot. There is nothing else. Zone in on it. All things out around you are becoming energy. You're alone with the spot. And there's a welling coming up in from your heart. It's a welling of love. And as you look at that spot, you can feel this welling of love come up. The spot's triggering the welling of love. And in that welling of love is a face. in the faces of someone in your family circle who loves you and you love them. It is a great feeling between the two of you. I'd like you to project that face onto the spot. And just see the face. Smile. Feel love for the face. Feel love from the face. Don't say anything. And now there's another welling. There's a welling up in your heart. It's love. And up comes another face. And this is the face of a friend. Someone who loves you and who you love. Good feelings between you. And project that face to the spot next to the family face. Just two for the moment. I'm sure you're starting to feel the welling of more love, more faces. It's good. It's good. Let these two faces represent all the other faces that come with them. Now let these two faces have their own color. Let the family face have a color. Is it purple? Is it blue? Is it pink? What color does the family face have around it, like an aura? And what color does the friend face have around its aura? And let's see the two colors become ribbons and the faces become those ribbons. They're ribbons of color. And they're coming out of the spot on the wall. And they're crossing over and entwining like DNA entwines, like the double helix. And they come around you and form a circle around your back and around the front of you. And now, although the wall still has the spot, the colors of family and friends who love you and you love them are surrounding you. And feel the love between you and them and you, and you and them and you. Let's just sit for a moment in that. That's nice. When you're ready, bring those colors back into your body at your heart level. So it's a circle of the two colors entwined, and just make the circle smaller and smaller and smaller until it touches the heart, your shoulders, and your back where your heart is. And it melts into your aura and into your body and into your mind. In your heart. Doesn't that feel secure? It feels nice. So nice. Now, whenever you see that spot on the wall, all you see is love. And you can access those friends and family anytime. And when you think about your friends and family, they've got their own color. A ribbon for friends and a ribbon for family. Let that color be a message to you from the universe. When you see it, you think of them. It's a trigger of love. It might trigger you to ring them or know that you're going to be contacted, but it's there for you. It's special, and it's just between you and them. And when you're ready, come back to the room. Have another good wriggle. And when we're finished with the show, go and have something nice to eat that makes you feel good.
Thank you, Kat. That was beautiful. And thank you to everybody that's listening tonight. Thanks, Elle and Galileo, for joining us. And with that said, please join us next week, the same time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, 10:30 a.m. Brisbane time, Australia. And wish everybody a good day and a good night.
Good night, everyone.